dude, everything has to flow out of knowing him, you know? Sometimes I've thought that needed to be that I just need to present myself in a way where I look like I am doing that, you know, yeah. Where I look like I'm this highly religious dude and I'm, you know, that is not what I mean. But just to literally keep him in the center of our sights, you know, even when that's telling him, I got nothing, man. This feels like a lie. You know what I mean? I've felt right. him nearer when I was that honest than a bazillion, you know, false hallelujahs, right? You know what I mean?
Right. What's up, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Worship Fuel. My name is Matt McCoy. I'm the host of the Worship Fuel show and the founder of loopcommunity.com. And today I have a really special guest. I've got Mike Weaver from Big Daddy Weave, and we're going to talk about the new album, Let It Begin. Really excited to just kind of dig into what the story behind this album and also just talk about worship leading and songwriting a little bit. So what are we waiting for? Let's bring in Mike Weaver. What's up, Mike?
Dude, how are you, man? This has been a long time coming, man. It's been a long time since we got to have a visit like this.
It has. I know. I think actually I just was thinking about this. I think the last time you and I talked was when you guys released the album that had Lion and the Lamb on it.
Yes. That was Beautiful Offering. That was years. That was probably 2015 or something, man.
Yeah. So
that's been a long time ago. That's like 10 years ago, bro. That is crazy.
I know. It's funny because 2015, well, when you say 2015, doesn't sound that long ago. But then when you do the math, you're like, oh my gosh.
You're like, wait a minute. This is 2025. That means 10 years. That means a decade. That means a decade of our lives have passed.
Gosh. I know. So way too long. But you've been doing a lot of new music. I'm sure a lot of touring. Tell us about this new album you guys dropped. It's called Let It Begin.
Oh my gosh, dude. This album is like 6 years, you know, 6 years since we had a record before this, which, wow. You know, the music industry is like in dog years or something or whatever. And so that's usually like the end of somebody, you know, for that long, except for the fact that, you know, Jesus reigns, you know, and we just keep doing what he's doing, you know? And so this has been the most difficult season of my entire life, Matt. I'm telling you, we, in about a 5-year stretch, we lost my dad and my mom and my little brother. My little brother Jay was kind of, it was the final, it was so awful because he's my best friend. He's, you know, the hub in the middle of the wheel, the bass player of Big Daddy Weave, kind of a leader in many ways in our culture of Big Daddy Weave, and had this terrible health struggle, and went to be with Jesus at the beginning of 2022. But this is not only a ministry to us, it also is like our livelihood. And so it's like, at some point you got to make a record and you have to write songs and you have to all this stuff. But I got to tell you, I wasn't feeling it. And I was just looking for a way out of this, man. My heart was so broken after Jay had passed. And I mean, I know I'm going to see him again in heaven. I know all that stuff. I think I can say this. I feel like I have zero doubt about that, you know?
Yeah.
Like I know. But man, it hurts so bad because we had always just done everything in life together, you know? And all of a sudden this important voice, this important presence, all this was gone. And so now it's time to go write songs again. It's time to go encourage people again. That's a pretty awful feeling when your job is to like go encourage people, but it's like you feel like you're not dealing with a lot of hope, you know, at that moment. And so, but we go in to write songs. And so all the songs are coming from this place of grief, dude, you know? And so literally the first writing session, got together with Matthew West and Jeff Pardo. And dude, it was the first time I had tried to write a song since Jay had gone to heaven. And I was like, I don't even know if I can do this. And they just let me talk for an hour, like uninterrupted. And then as I'm talking, like after, when I finally took a breath, you know, at the end of like an hour, Matthew turns around his phone and just shows me and just goes like, dude, he has 9 song titles written down, you know? And he just goes, dude, this is not like a song, bro. This is a record because we're going to need some help. So we start sharing, man, all the things that I'm going through and all the things that are in my heart with the greater, you know, songwriting community in Nashville. And then we decide to all get in a house together and just have different duos of songwriters in each room. We're going to chase these songs that I just have, Matthew just wrote down on his, you know, and then we came up with some more titles as well. And we're like, just kind of all related to these different facets of grief that I was experiencing. And I literally went from room to room to room with different songwriters trying to chase down these songs. And if it had been about anything other than what it was about, I think it would have been an amazing experience. But I felt like it was killing me, man. You know, Matt, I just thought that I'm like, no, dude, I don't need to figure out how to make a record. I need to figure out how to get out of this. I got to figure out. So we wrote all these grief songs, man, you know? And then we were like, you know, when we have all these songs and we're starting to record them, we're like, dude, if we have a record completely of grief songs, we're going to kill the listener, dude. You know what I mean? This is, they're not going to make it out of this, you know, emotionally, you know? And which even though there's hope in all of them, but it's like, dude, good grief. Literally, there's a song called Good Grief on there. You know? Wow. But dude, you know, we, so then we just kind of had to wait. And man, Jesus just showed us about healing is a process, you know? Wow. Since I've seen you, the last time I talked to you, we were in the midst of the greatest move of God we had ever seen. Mm-hmm. You know, we were just seeing Jesus do miracles every day. I'm telling you, dude, I'm like, I couldn't make it up. The stories and testimonies we were getting from what God was doing in rooms every night. We would just shut down the show and just pray for people. And then I lost the three people that I loved the most. And the one who was leading the charge in it, because my brother Jay, man, I'm telling you, there's a healing gift on him. And in fact, we named Jason, which is his name, means one who heals. We just saw God do it. And then to not see it and deal with this heaviness, you know, I've seen Jesus heal people like that. But then what I've experienced in this last season is like Jesus stretching out his hand and being like, come on, hey, come with me. I'm going to take you on a journey that is healing. Right. Wow. And so it's not instant. But what happens on the other side of that journey is you're somebody different.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm telling you, toward the end of last year, it was as dark as I can remember. And Matt, all I can say is it was like Jesus showed up on my RV with me, dude. It's like, you ever seen the movie The Shack? Well, it's like, there's my RV was like The Shack, dude.
Yeah.
And on the phone, on the phone with a buddy, it was like Jesus came on my RV, dude. And he gave me a new heart. And he took out this old black shredded mass that was my broken heart that I was living out of. And then he gave me a new heart, man. And then we have some different songs now that are not just about grief. So this record is a trip, man. This record is a journey because it's got, it has all these heavy elements, but then it also has the other side, man, you know, which is finding healing in his presence, man. Yeah. Yeah.
So the album, so it's 6 years later.
Yeah.
When did you guys start? How long of a break did you take before you started?
Well, really, it was it was about 3 years, and then we started.
Okay.
So it was like, this is, and so 3 years since we really started the record. So it was like, because all this stuff was going on that was pushing back even pursuing the record. And then when my brother died in 2022, it already had been forever since we had started. And so we started, and then it just has taken forever. But man, the story of Jesus in my life over these years is it's expensive, dude. It's costly to me, man. You know what I mean? Like it's, but it's powerful, and it relates to other folks who are going through stuff. And I'm so thankful that it's not wasted, man. And so anybody who hears this and you're going through just the most terrible things, hang in there, because Jesus isn't done with the story yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I love that about him, you know. I also hate that about the process, but I love that about him, that it's like he just hangs in there with us. And really this record becomes then just the story of his faithfulness when, I'm telling you, most of those days I wasn't feeling it at all, right? I was feeling the opposite, you know. But Jesus still carried us through, man, you know.
Yeah. I'm glad you touch on that, because I think there's a lot of worship leaders who feel tied to the paycheck, you know, like they are, like it's their livelihood. It's their job. They have to lead worship every Sunday, but there's Sundays where they're just like, where they're in seasons where like, I don't want to do this anymore. Or I may not even believe this anymore. You know, like you get in those moments where you're like, oh my gosh, I have to lead worship, but this is the very last thing I want to do or feel like I'm capable of even doing.
Yes.
And it sounds like you kind of felt some of those, you went through that. And I think a lot of worship leaders
on a daily basis, dude. Yes. And one thing, so after our dad died, Jay would tell me things like that. He would say, you know what, sometimes all we can do is show up, you know? And really what Jesus is calling us to do is to show up and get out of the way anyway, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and so we would just show up and we would just tell people where we were at and just be like, man, sometimes I just don't even want to be here right now. And other people, it would be shocking to me to see some people's faces because I think I don't know that they thought it was okay to say something like that, you know? Right. And there is this religious thing that you try to uphold or whatever, you know, and you're doing your best. You're trying to say the things you know are the right things to say. That's not the stuff that Jesus is looking from for us, you know? It's like he's just looking for us to bring who we are. You know, really, we are just that offering that the little kid brought, you know? He brought his lunchbox, dude. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's like, it's definitely not enough, right? It's definitely,
definitely
not enough.
Yeah.
But he gave it to Jesus, though. And so, man, there's a lot of days all we had was pain. And so we just gave Jesus our pain and we just still showed up, though, you know?
Yeah.
And then the beauty is, though, when we gave Jesus our pain, though, he still showed up, you know? And so and by the way, when he shows up, it's a lot better than when we show up, you know? And so I don't know if you've noticed a significant difference in that, but there's like, you know, when Jesus shows up and touches something, you're talking about a whole different ball game, you know?
Right.
And it's
right.
like, that's the thing. So yeah, I know I've got a lot of friends that have been in that same spot, dude, over these last years. I feel like since pandemic on, it's like there's just been this gnarly thing. But I sense that something is lifting. I don't know if you can say that in a state of the world. It just feels like the Lord is stirring something right now, you know?
Yeah, totally.
And I'm grateful because I've been the recipient of that too, and I'm in of a brand new heart. And I just I thank Jesus for his faithfulness to me, man.
Tell me about the album title. Let It Begin. Because I can imagine when I was thinking about you doing this, I'm like, man, first of all, it must have been really hard to do this album without your brother because you've done so many albums with him. This is the first one without. You got this. But then you're also coming out of the season of like grief, in the season of grief, and then an album title like Let It Begin. Tell us about that.
There was a night I would make this place when I would share every night about pain. I would make this place literally to plan on having a place to run off and just take an emotional break. And I would just literally have to stop and cry sometimes.
Yeah.
And one night though, it dawned on me when I came to that part where I was planning to just breathe for a second. I'm like, man, actually I think I'm okay. Does it not hurt? No, it still hurts a lot, you know, but something had changed. Like we were further in the process. Like it was beginning, you know? And so dude, I get a call, or a text message from Matt Maher, who I just think is incredible, man. I love those songs, man. We lead his songs, like all these. And he goes, dude, I got this song and I just keep thinking of you, man. And he goes, and it's this song. And it was exactly our heart. Like we could never say it. He's so great at saying things, man. I could never say it like him, but he starts with, for the damage done, for the victories won, for the gift and for the grieving, for letting go and moving on. And I'm like going, who even says this, dude? It's like this theological Dr. Seuss thing going on in like, you know, the lyric. And I'm like, good grief, Matt, the fact that you would give this to us, you know, and it just, it became like the banner over the record, you know?
Yeah.
And it's beautiful because I've seen it work for people who are dealing with the grief of like losing people, but I've also sung it over towns that were destroyed by hurricanes. You know what I mean? And it's like, it just worked. And it's like, we're all in that process. We're all somewhere in that process.
Yeah.
I don't know if you get done with the process while we're here or you just get closer or what, I don't know, but you know, it depends on what we're talking about, but you know, but it's like, we've experienced that and super grateful for that song from Matt Maher.
That's special. You've been releasing music and leading worship for a long time now. What advice would you tell a younger version of yourself you could go back to like when you first started getting into the music and the music industry and you're doing what you're doing, what would you tell yourself if you could put your arm around?
I'm telling you, little Mike or whatever. You know, I would say this, man. I hear this like in the whole like New Yorker voice or whatever, like forget about it. You know, it's like there's these things that have nothing to do with what our purpose really is, you know, and it creates this Martha-ness to us, you know what I mean? Where we're running around and we're trying to do all this crap, you know? I heard Peter Lord say this years ago. He said, wouldn't it be a shame? We've been making apple pies all these years only to find out that Jesus don't even like apples. You know what I mean? Like it's, you know, it's like, dude, everything has to flow out of knowing him, you know? And that does not mean sometimes I have thought that needed to be that I just need to present myself in a way where I look like I am doing that, you know, where I look like I'm this highly religious dude. And I'm, you know, that is not what I mean. But just to literally keep him in the center of our sights, you know, even when that's telling him, I got nothing, man. This feels like a lie. You know what I mean? I've felt him nearer when I was that honest than a bazillion, you know, false hallelujahs, right? You know what I mean?
Right.
I also have romanced the pain too, though, you know? And you got to let Jesus be able to call you beyond the stuff that happens to you, you know? Either way, the solution is it's him, dude. He's a person, dude. He's not a religious idea. Jesus, literally the person, the man, came and did all the things that we sing about, right? Overcame the great, like he literally did that. But if that means nothing to you, you know what I mean? If that's not the center of your, I mean, we got nothing to give people. You know what I mean? Because really it just has to come from the overflow of him, man. So there's all these things that felt like they needed to take precedent over the main thing, which is just knowing him, which seems overly simple, but which is his intent, I think. And dude, I would just say, forget about him. Forget about all these things. What do I look like in it? Forget about it. I've stayed up all night thinking of how stupid it must have looked, how bad it must have been, how, you know what I mean? And Jesus is going like, hey, over here. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, apart from me, you can do nothing. You got nothing, right? So it's like, and to really just feel okay to let all that stuff go. What you think people think, what you're trying to live up to, the expectation you have for you, all that, let it, forget about it. Forget about it, dude. And then the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace, right? And so that's it, man. That's it.
That's beautiful. What is one song? I know that's like asking you to pick your favorite child, but what is one song on the album that you really hope worship leaders would listen to?
Bro, okay, so good. In fact, can I expand it to three?
You can do three.
And I'll make it very, very quick. So the thing is, first one is called Have Your Way. It was a worship experience sitting up on the side of my bed. And it's like, it is an encounter with God, like in a song. You're beautiful. Come have your way in me. Surrender. And then it's like, and then I believe you're moving in my life, and then thanking him for it. It's like literally an experience, like in a worship song.
Awesome.
It is. I will quickly have the tracks my own self from Loop Community on my own little prime rig. It's like so great. The next thing is a song called Free, which we wrote in Zambia. And, dude, it's like literally the picture in my head when we wrote the song was like using the severed head of Goliath as a drum, like beating out a freedom rhythm, like literally on the head of our defeated enemy. Like he's so defeated, he's a part of the perk section now. It's like, you know, and like literally this song was born out of that. That one, check that one out. Because it's super accessible. It's super, you can get it from chorus one, you're in, you know what I mean? And then the third one is a song that hurt to write, but I'm so grateful. It's a song called Constantly. And man, it is just about the faithfulness of God and his constant faithful presence, man. So without breaking any of those down, That's where I would point people, especially worship leaders, man, because it was so good to not sing a grief song. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
That it was it. And there's other songs on there that it's like, if you need a special song or if you need to think about him, if you need a room to sit in with some facet of grief, there's lots of those songs. But the songs that I love to sing with people are those three that I just named.
Yeah. Well, Mike, I'm thankful for you, man. I'm thankful for what you're doing and that you have persevered, that you've stepped into it, and that you've given us these songs. Thank you. And I know it hasn't come easy.
Man, bro.
But because I know what you say, that there is a cost to it. And but it is such a blessing to the church and to worship leaders and to the heart of God. So thank you. And thanks for taking the time to have this conversation as well.
100%, dude. Thanks for having me on here, man. It's great to get to reconnect with you, dude.
I know. We'll talk soon. Blessings.
Okay. See you, buddy.
All right, guys. Great conversation with Mike Weaver from Big Daddy Weave. Make sure you go check out their latest album, Let It Begin. Honestly, hearing the story of that album makes me want to highly encourage you to go listen to it right now. Stop this interview. Go find it on Spotify, Apple Music, whatever. We've got the charts, the tracks all at Loop and Song Select, CCLI. Go listen to this album and learn some of these songs. Incorporate them in your church. And I think you're really going to be blessed by it. Thank you, Mike. And hit the subscribe button. Stay tuned for the future shows. We'll see you soon.